So let us get started. Welcome back, Stephen. I don't know if you can hear me. You can't hear me yet, but I can see you. Looks nice out there. Okay. So let's get started. Good morning. Yesterday we started Maseches Me'ilah. We gave a list in the Mishnah of a bunch of different cases as to whether Me'ilah still applies in those cases. Very short summary. Me'ilah is basically if you in some way misuse something that is God's property, so to say. And if you do so, here, let me grab that for you.
Thank you.
And if you do so, you're obligated to pay it back plus a fifth, meaning plus 25%, which will be a fifth of the final amount. And you got to bring in Asham Me'ilos. Okay, so the Mishnah basically gave us a bunch of cases. It says, for example, if you slaughtered them in the wrong location, so if they were supposed to be slaughtered in the northern part, and you slaughtered them in the southern part, or you did the Kabbalah Saddam in the wrong place, or you did either the slaughtering or the Kabbalah Saddam, the receiving of the blood, at the wrong time, meaning at night, or you had in mind to eat it chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mekomo in the wrong place or time, which would render it pigel. In all of these cases, there is Me'ilah. Rabbi Yehoshua explained that the rule is, so long as the Kohanim have any moment which they are permitted to eat it, and then it becomes pasul, then there's no Me'ilah, and as we explained, because then it's no longer God's property, so to say, because it was already shared with the Kohanim. There would be no Me'ilah in those cases where the Kohanim already had an ability to eat it. And that would be, says the Mishnah as an example, if afterwards they left out the Korban for too long, or it became Tameh later on, or they brought it out of the place where it may be eaten. All of those cases are cases where there is no Me'ilah if someone, again, uses or misuses this property. Whereas all of these other cases in the beginning, including Chutz L'Zmana, Chutz L'Mekoma, or if even the Kabbalah Saddam was done by someone improperly, like someone with a Mum, or as we said, someone who was Tameh, or the Zrika Saddam was done by someone with a Mum or someone who was Tameh, in all of these cases, since the Kohanim never had the ability to eat from it, there is Me'ilah if someone misused it. Now, the beginning of the Gemara said, one second, isn't this obvious that in all of these cases there's Me'ilah? And the Gemara made us aware of something very, very important, which we'll relate to again today, which is that there is the idea that Kodshim Shemesu Yasu Midei Me'ilah Dvar Torah, that any Kachim, which died, again, had a heart attack, whatever the case was, before they even began to bring it, from a deoraita, biblical level, there is no Me'ilah there. There's only rabbinic Me'ilah. We'll talk about what rabbinic Me'ilah entails today. And then the Mishnah, which we're going to pick up from about two-thirds of the way down, has the words, Lama li lemitne kolhani. Okay, Lama li lemitne kolhani. And the Gemara ultimately said that, by the way, what's the difference between the cases of the Mishnah and the dying before, just before we get to Lama li, is because it sacrificing something, even in the wrong part of the Beit HaMikdash, or courtyard, ultimately is still relevant to Korbanot, and that's why it's not considered like it died, but other things are not. Okay. Lama li lemitne kolhani. Everybody see?
It also apply if they don't eat it in time. If they eat it too late, it becomes pigul too, doesn't it? After chatzot, after the middle of the night.
No, notar, you mean?
Your notar, sorry, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. But that's already the Kohanim had a hand in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So there would be no Me'ilah.
No Me'ilah.
Whereas here there is Me'ilah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Lama li lemitne kolhani. Why does the Mishnah have to go through listing all these cases? Says the Gemara Tzrichei, they're all needed. Had the Mishnah just told me the first case, where one slaughtered it in the wrong location, but accepted the blood in the correct location, I would think, do you know why there's Me'ilah over there? Because the Kabbalat Adam was done in the correct location. And as Rashi notes, as Tosfot notes on occasion over here, Kabbalat Adam is considered a more fundamental part of the Korban. Where you slaughtered it, slaughtering is not as critical. Obviously, you still have to slaughter it and you have to follow halacha, and it's puzzle if you don't. But for whatever reason, Kabbalat Adam seems to be something that was more accepted as a critical part of the process. And therefore, had it just said that I did the shechita in the wrong place, but the Kabbalah in the right place, I would have thought, aval shechatan batzafon v'kibuldaman badarom, ho'il v'kibil badarom hu, nafik midemil. I would have thought that in that case, you say, you know, no. Just because you shechted in the right place, but you did, it's like you didn't do a proper Kabbalah, I would have thought that there's no mi'ilah, and therefore the Mishnah tells us also the second case. What about, let's continue, v'itanahai, let's just say that again, these first pair of cases, where again, you slaughtered it in the wrong place and you did the Kabbalah in the right place, or you did the Kabbalah in the wrong place and the Shechita in the right place. If I would have just said those cases, hava, I mean, I would have thought, yimama zman hakravahu, daytime is a time where you bring korbanos. But if you slaughtered it at night and you sprinkled the blood during the day, laila loves zman hakravah. The night is not a time when you bring korbanos. V'hayi d'shachat b'layla, and this that you slaughtered at night, ima d'nafik midei me'ila, I would have said, if not for the Mishnah coming to tell us that you slaughtered it at night, and you sprinkled the blood during the day, I would have thought that is no longer relevant to the laws of me'ila, and again, therefore the Mishnah tells us that case too. V'tana shachat b'layla, hava minaho el v'kibel dama bayom isba me'ila. And by the way, we have the same type of logic that we add on to the second case as to why now this fourth case is necessary. Why is the fourth case necessary? Because if it would have just said that you slaughtered at night, but you sprinkled the blood during the day, I would have said, okay, slaughtering, that's not so critical. Again, but the sprinkling of the blood, that's major, right? I would have thought, okay, that aval shchatan bayom, if you slaughtered it during the day, vizarak daman balayla, and you sprinkled the blood at night, ho'il v'lav zman hakravahu, I would have thought, you know what? That this case is so irrelevant. Why? Because the sprinkling of the blood was done at night. I'm not even going to count it. Meaning, I think what the Gemara is saying over here, and you can see over here, it's very, very strange, because what the Gemara says, you would think it's like the animal was choked. Okay, that's the language we used yesterday. This is a bit of a strange language. Let me explain to you why I think it's strange, and then I'll tell you why I think the Gemara uses this, and we'll see Rashi over here as well. So, you would think that when a shechita is done improperly, it's like the animal's been choked, right? Here, we're talking about, no, the shechita was done at the right time, and the zrikas adam was never done. So, one of two options, we can answer it. Either we can just say, okay, it doesn't literally mean it's like you choked it, it just means that it's, you know, no longer part of me'ila. Seems like a little bit of a strange thing to say. Or, I think the idea is, thinking back to the original logic, when you slaughtered it at the wrong time, we say, you know why it's not like you choked it to death? Because you're going on and fulfilling the rest of the korban process. Right? But here, what the Gemara is trying to tell us is, even if you slaughtered something at night, but you didn't go through with the rest of the korban process, I would have thought that therefore it's like the animal choked to death. Meaning what made choking to death take it out of Me'ila? That you didn't even attempt the main korban process. So one would have thought that that's the same halacha, the lo is be Me'ila, and that therefore there would not be Me'ila kamash malan. The Mishnah comes to teach us, no, even this case again is relevant enough as a korban to consider it still Me'ila and not like it just died. If you look over here, right? Ima kemanda chanikundami kamash malan, demoalin delaila lav. I'm just looking at Rashi, I should tell you, five lines up from the bottom. Right? Ika kemanda, ima kemanda chanikundami kamash malan. Right? That's again what we had in the Gemara. Right? Demoalin delaila lav mechusur zman hu. V'hai balashas diek meos nisim velo spirale dezuz mein zarach lamar zuketani. Rashi, okay, notes to us that, by the way, you could have given a different answer for the Gemara. You could have said that the Mishnah employs a technique, which we see elsewhere in Shas, called Zu V'Ein Tzarech Lomar Zu. When you have a list in many, many different places, the Mishnah likes to make lists. And sometimes, and if you look in Rashi on the Mishnah, by the way, Rashi says in some of the cases that there's this concept called Zu V'Ein Tzarech Lomar Zu, which is sometimes you simply make a list of two opposites, and in fact, you can derive one from the other. In fact, you would know that. So Rashi's saying, okay, he didn't, the Baal HaShas, whichever Amora put this together, because it's written stam, it doesn't say Rabba said this, Abaye says this. It doesn't say that. It's just whoever wrote this Gemara is saying this authority didn't want to answer or didn't feel that this was Zuva in Sarach Lamar Zu. He felt there was an additional Chiddush in every single case. But Rashi's noting, and again, he did talk about it a little bit earlier, that perhaps you could have said on just a Mishnah basis, right, if you look back, look way back up, about 10 lines down in Rashi from the top of the page, V'chenim shachat palela v'zarak b'yom.
Yeah.
Right? Says Rashi about this case. Again, we just read what the Gemara has to say. What does Rashi on the Mishnah say? V'hai kol d'chenu. It's obvious from the previous case. It's a kal v'chomer. D'mo alin b'hen d'hazrika d'ikar avoda haves b'yom. Because the Zrika is during the day. V'zuv ein sarach lomar zuketani. And again, Rashi says this answer. So I'm just noting that Rashi is pointing out that even though that's a legitimate way to explain the Mishnah, for whatever reason, the author of the Gemara decided to come up with a logical reason as to why each case adds on an additional chiddush. But it would have been okay to say zuv ein sarach lomar zu like Rashi himself did. Okay. So we've covered the first four cases. Now let's continue on to the next cases. The cases after this, just as a reminder, says the Gemara were chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo. Says the Gemara lemay chazu. What are they? See, right? And again, we'll read Rashi here. If you don't mind, just to read this last Rashi on the page, just to give us a little bit of context. The Gemara asks, what are chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo fitting for? Klamar kol hani detani v'mas nisin bidin hu demoal in bahen. All of these other cases so far that we've seen in the Mishnah, it makes a lot of sense that Me'ilah is relevant. Because in all of these cases, there's some relevance that it has to Korbanos. So for example, slaughtering them in the wrong place is good for other types of sacrifices. Mm-hmm. Right? Right, he says all these other cases at least have some relevance. They at least have some relevance. But something which is pigle, how could that have any relevance that will say that Me'ilah continues? Answers the Gemara, a bit of a strange answer for someone who, like myself, was not well versed in Kodshim. Hoel umiratzin lipigulin. Since they are meratzeh for pigel, meratzeh is a hard word to translate. It's like an acceptable. It really means to be accepted. What does it mean to be accepted for pigel? Is kind of what we're trying to figure out. If you look in, again, you can look in Rashi, but basically, put it this way: let's say you shot the animal in the head, and you thought you're going to eat a chutz lizmano chutz limkomo. It's pigel. If you shot the animal in the head?
No.
Of course not. Why not?
Because it wasn't sacrificed.
So what seems to be the simplest way to explain this is, listen, your sacrifice is close enough to a korban to render that korban this specific type of pigle, then that's relevant enough to call it me'ila. Right? That's what Hoel Umar...
Can you just remind me the term pigle?
Pigle... basically, you can learn a little bit more about it from Rashi back on the Mishnah. But pigle is basically something which is gross to God, so to say. It's when specifically you were slaughtering the animal and thought, "I am going to eat this either in the wrong place or in the wrong time." Okay, if you thought about later, about outside of the time frame of the korban, then you also get kares. If you thought to eat it in the wrong place, then you don't get kares, but it's still considered pigle. And pigle is considered a very specific type of invalidation for a korban, but it's very severe, as you can imagine, for getting kares for it. It's like a real chutzpah.
It's like forbidden.
Pigle okay, is like thank forbidden. You.
Yeah, some would translate pigle as forbidden. Or there's a certain sense of revulsion. There's certain things you can't put into English, but there's a certain sense of revulsion around it. But bottom line is, the Gemara says, why is it, in fact, that pigle korbanos still have me'ila? You would think, again, they're forbidden, they're gross, they're out. Says the Gemara, no. If at the end of the day your action was effective to make them pigle, it must have been close enough to a korban, and therefore, one would assume this is the biggest chiddush of the Mishnah, to say such a thing. The Gemara, by the way, does not differentiate at this point between chutz l'zman and chutz l'mkoma.
Yeah.
Meaning, so it could be either that will answer. Okay. We really had the order in our Mishnah, right, of first chutz l'zmano and then chutz l'mkomo. I would have thought that chutz l'zmano was a bigger chiddush, right? Because again, that's the one that gets you kares. Mm-hmm. So perhaps either there was a different order, in which case there was a hierarchy, or we're considering this to be one case, or we say zuvein tzarach lomar zu, like Rashi. This is a kal v'chomer that if you had in mind chutz l'mkomo, once we know chutz l'zmano, it's just filling in the gap. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Gemara asks a very interesting question that, again, Ibayilahu. We're right at the top of Beis Amud Beis, the very first words. Ibayilahu was asked to various Amoraim, as we'll see. I'alu, in these cases in the Mishnah, we had all these cases in the Mishnah. You slaughtered in the wrong place, or you did Kabbalah in the wrong place. So what happened is, says the Gemara, what would happen in the following case? Let's say you slaughtered in the wrong place, and then it went through the entire process. You bring it up to the Mizbeach, presumably to burn it. They have a bit of a mistranslation in one of the things that I was using. I believe it's the current translation, which comes from Steinsaltz, but the problem is they try to translate the Steinsaltz as closely as possible. It says, if you slaughtered it in the wrong place, and it was brought up to the Mizbeach to sacrifice... Sacrifice usually means to kill it. If it was already slaughtered, I think it's a little bit too late to sacrifice it. What it means is, again, to perform whatever parts of the korban are on the mizbeach, to offer it up. But anyways, the question is, let's say, again, you had one of these pasul animals that made its way all the way up onto the mizbeach. What's the halacha? Mahu sheyardu. Mahu sheyardu. Do you have to take these sacrifices off the mizbeach? Or once they're there already, we leave them up, just like we've kind of been saying, right? And the Gemara really is bringing this question, because we do consider them gods to some degree, right? We've said that there's Me'ilah in them, so should we take them off the Mizbeach if we see, oh no, the Kohen just slaughtered this in the wrong place and now brought it up, or did Kabbalah Saddam in the wrong, or at night, whatever the case was, should we take these down off the Mizbeach? Yeah. Now, there is a very important background here, as we see from Rashi and Tosos. In Maseches, okay, in Maseches, where are we over here? Maybe Zvachim, I don't remember. In Zvachim, I think it's Zvachim. If not, basically there's a machlokas elsewhere on this exact topic, Zvachim. Whether or not, okay, Zvachim. Okay, there's
Zvachim.
I think that's about the pigle. I'm looking at the next part. Oh. I'm just trying to give some background here. You'll see in a moment, okay? I believe it's Damar Hasam Perakam. Yeah, it's in Zvachim, okay? Basically, we have a case, better even to look in, there's a machlokes in which Tanayim debate this very point in one of the cases. The Gemara implies, okay, the Gemara implies that the machlokes is the case that we were talking about for birds. The Gemara says there's a machlokes between, the Gemara over here really implies this, that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda for birds. Let's say you had a bird ola and you shmushed it again on the bottom part of the Mizbeach, or if you had a chatas that you did on the top of the Mizbeach, and then that ends up on top of the Mizbeach, do you follow through with the process, or do you pull it down? Okay? So Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion you leave it up there, whereas Rabbi Huda seems to have been of the opinion that, no, you got to take it down. Okay, that's what the Gemara implies. Tosfos notes that we have this machlokas, actually, right? If you look over here in Tosfos Aliva Derbi Huda, he says, right? Yeah. He says the machlokas was about Nishchat Balayla, that they directly argued about whether it was slaughtered at night. We'll see what the Gemara has to say about that. But the point is, there was a previously existing machlokas where, again, okay, Rabbi Shimon said, lo tere, don't take it off the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Huda said, yes, tere. So let's see. Mm-hmm. The Gemara asked it about all the cases in the Mishnah, though. So, Rabba Amar, back to the first line of the Gemara. With this in mind, you'll be able to understand the next few lines of the Gemara. Rabba Amar, im alu yerdu. Rabba says, if they went up in the Mizbeach, take them off. They're pasul, they don't go on the Mizbeach, period. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, im alu lo yirdu. If they're ready on the Mizbeach, you know what, again, they're close enough, just leave them on the Mizbeach, let them finish the process. Says the Gemara, Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, we just said, is of the opinion that you have to take it down in one of these two cases, but whatever the case was, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, you take it down. Okay, so Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda lo tibayilach. No one asks this question according to Rabbi Yehuda. De kule alma lo pligi di malo yerdu. Everyone says within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, once it's up, if it's not kosher, you take it down. Period. Ki pligi, where are Rabba and Rabbi Yosef arguing? They're only arguing Aliva de Rabbi Shimon according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Yosef, ki Rabbi Shimon. He says the simple understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said in that case, again, whatever that case was, we see it may be a number of different things, but whatever that case was, Rabbi Shimon says, you leave it up. Rabba Amar Lacha, Rabba would say to you, Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon only said that you leave it up in the following case, Ella, Benitanim Limata Shenasnan Limala, O Benitanim Limala Shenasnan Limata. Again, if you did it on the wrong place in the Mizbeach, like we were talking about 100 times with the birds. Only in that case would Rabbi Shimon say, leave it up. Ula olam deshachtan v'kibol daman batzafon. Because in those cases, says Rabba, you did the shechita properly, you did the Kabbalah properly. That's why Rabbi Shimon says, okay, you did the zrika in a little bit of the wrong place. Nu, leave it up on the Mizbeach. But at least the main beginning acts of Shechita and Kabbalah were done properly. However, Rabba argues, Aval Hacha, but over here, Kevan deshachad bedarom, since you slaughtered it improperly, Keman dechanikun dami, Rabbi Shimon would be of the opinion that it's like it was choked to death. Okay, and therefore, you should pull it down off of the Mizbeach. Now, this seemed to be an external question. Putting it on the Mizbeach, taking it off the Mizbeach, leaving it on the Mizbeach. What does this have to do with Mila? So now we got to bring it back to Mila, right? It says, the Gemara Tanan we learned in the Mishnah, Kadshei Kadashim Sheshchatan Badaron Moalin Bahem. That in the Mishnah it says that there is Mi'ila in this case. Bishlam ala Rav Yosef Nicha. For Rav Yosef it says you leave it on the Mizbeach. This makes sense. Why? Again, it's relevant to a korban. Therefore, there's still Mi'ila. But what was the language that we used to explain the opinion of Rabba? It's like it choked to death. And pardon me, what's the halacha about choking to death? No me'ila. And that's exactly what the Gemara asked. El Rabba Kasha. My mo'alin bahen. What then could the Mishnah mean that there is me'ila here? If it's like they choked to death, we have a memra that says choking to death, there's no me'ila. So Rabba, how would you interpret the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, midirabanan. The answer is Molin Bahen Midra Banan, right? My Molin Bahen, sorry, I didn't read these three words. My Molin Bahen, what does Molin Bahen mean? Midra Banan. That he says when the Mishnah comes ahead and tells us that there is Me'ila in these cases, where there is a problem in the Shechita or in the Kabbalah, it actually means there is no Me'ila Del Raisa. It's talking about on a rabbinic level, not on a biblical level, on a rabbinic level there is Me'ila. Ask the Gemara very briefly, my Ika Bein Del Raisa Lirabanan. What is the difference, by the way, between Me'ila, Doraisa, and Rabbanan? Just to take a guess.
They add the fifth.
Okay, so one is they add the fifth. Very good. Doraisa, Mishal, Min Chomesh, Rabbanan, Lo. For Doraisa, you add a fifth, and Rabbanan, you do not. And that seems to be the end of the list. What about the Korban? This very much bothered me. The Korban. Rabbinic, the Rabbanan, were Mechayev you to bring a Korban?
Well, if it's no, they have to take it off. It's still not good.
Like, no. If you, a korban for Me'ila, a korban for Me'ila, not the korban itself.
Yeah.
No. According to this opinion, we're saying if you slaughtered it in the wrong place, we say rabbinically speaking, if someone did Me'ila afterwards, what's the halacha? The Gemara says there's a difference between a fifth and no fifth. What about the korban? To me, how could the rabbana make you bring a korban? We generally don't see that. And in fact, if you look in Rashi, take a look in Rashi, right? And also, why did the Gemara not mention it? It seems to be a big deal, right? If part of the penalty for doing Me'ila, again, we're talking about where? you slaughtered it or accepted the blood inappropriately, and then someone came and did mi'ila, what's the halacha? Not about the korban itself. The korban itself we dealt with, does it stay on the mizbeach, does it not stay on the mizbeach? That was one question. But if someone did mi'ila on the korban afterwards, what's the halacha? So again, according to Rabbah, we're saying, the Mishnah is talking about mi'ila dirabanan, and you're only obligated to pay the main amount, but it doesn't say anything about the korban. Why not? Take a look in Rashi. Very, to me, a fundamental Rashi. Mi'ila d'rabanan. Everyone see it? It's about two-thirds of the way down. It's seven, eight lines below the bottom of the Gemara. Mi'ila d'rabanan. Everyone see it? Mm-hmm. We're on Beis Amud Beis here. Mishalim keren v'lo chomesh. You pay the principal amount that you were moel, but not the additional fifth. Why? Mishum de chomesh mifnei el asham maisi. Rashi says because the fifth is tied to the korban, right? Uvidra maisi le uvidra banan like a korban, and there's no korban uvidra banan. Meaning this is the Gemara's way of saying there is no korban. How do you say it? You say there's no fifth, and the fifth and the korban, says Rashi, come for whatever the same reason. Okay, they're tied together. So rabbinically speaking, if you do mi'ila, it's an aveira. But you only bring the principal amount that you did mi'ila on. But ultimately speaking, you do not bring a korban. Says Rashi, that would be baby chulin la'azara. You can't do that. Okay.
So therefore, you don't get the fifth.
So therefore, the difference between a deoraita level mi'ila and a derabanan level mi'ila is on a deoraita, you pay the principal amount that you did mi'ila on plus a fifth, and you bring a korban. On a derabanan, you just pay back the principal amount.
And you don't bring a korban.
You do not bring a korban. That would be not good, says Rashi. And why doesn't the Gemara mention that? Again, this is what I was very bothered by. Again, for someone just starting to learn mi'ila, I don't know anything. So I was like, wow, the derabanan make you bring a korban too, and the only difference is the fifth? That's crazy. And then Rashi says, no. The fifth is the way of telling us, as the Gemara likes to speak, that there's no korban as well. So bottom line is, we have a machlokes about whether or not you should take these cases off the Mizbeach or not, between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says leave it on. Rabbah says take it off. They are arguing within the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who in general says leave it up there, because maybe in this case it's even worse because the Shechita and Kabbalah were done inappropriately, and therefore, according to that opinion, that you would take it off, meaning that it's not relevant to God anymore, so much so that we would pull it off the Mizbeach, we have to say that our Mishnah is talking about Mi'ila d'Rabbanan. Good? Any questions?
No, makes sense.
Okay. Umi'ika mi'ila midrabanan, says the Gemara. One second. Is there even such a concept? So we're just past halfway down Beis Amud Beis over here. Got a nice few more minutes. Umi'ika mi'ila midrabanan, asks the Gemara, is there really mi'ila midrabanan? In, says the Gemara, de amar ulam rav yochanan kadshim shemesu yasu midei mi'ila devar Torah. Alma mideoraisa lo islahon bidrabanan islahon, says the Gemara. The Gemara asks a very strange question, which ultimately really is being asked just to bring in a question, right? The Gemara asks, after it's told us that according to this opinion it's mi'ila d'rabanan, and it's told us the difference between mi'ila d'rabanan and deoraisa, it asks again the question, is there really mi'ila midrabanan? Umi'ika mi'ila midrabanan? Says the Gemara, in yes, there is. To Amar Ula Amar Rav Yochanan, I'm rereading the same section, that Ula said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Kadshim Shemesu, again, if you had an animal that died prior to anything, Yatsu Midei Mi'ila Devar Torah. It says they're exempted from biblical Mi'ila, which implies, Alma, we see Midoraisa lo, Islahon, that on a biblical level there is no Mi'ila, Midrabanan, Isbahon. Okay? Hachanami, Midrabanan. Here too, again, you could have a rabbinic form of Mi'ila.
So, He's saying there's only a Ravanan Mi'ila.
In that case.
But because of the word Torah, the Devar Torah.
Correct. Because the implication is from their statement. They say, there's no Mi'ila according to the Torah. That implies there is Mi'ila according to the rabbis. Okay? Now again, why the Gemara had an extensive discussion of Mi'ila d'Rabbanan and then asks, oh, is there really such a thing, raises a bit of a question, and let's see what that question is. So says the Gemara, the reason why we're saying this is Lema Tanina Laha De'ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't we say then, when Ula said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbah's opinion, that our Mishnah is talking about Mi'ila d'Rabbanan, we should have yelled at Ula and said, Ula, well, what kind of chiddush is this, Mi'ila d'Rabbanan? We learned it already. Tanina. right? Again, the Gemara is saying we should have asked on Ula, why don't we tell him, what are you telling us in Mishnah? The Mishnah says there's Mi'ilah Derabanan. How do you know? Because again, Rava would start to explain his whole thought process that we just went through in the Gemara. Really, you should take it off of the Mizbeach, and the Mishnah can't be talking about Mi'ilah Deoraisa because this is not relevant at all to Korbanos. And therefore, our Mishnah is talking about Mi'ilah Derabanan. So why do we need Ula to tell us this big Chiddush that if the animal died, there's Mi'ilah Derabanan? Obviously, in our case, when you slaughtered it, which is the same thing according to Rava, if you slaughtered it in the wrong place, that's exactly the same thing. You choked it to death. So why don't we ask this question, or what would be the answer to this question on Ula? Again, according, this is all within the opinion of Rava that you take it off the Mizbeach.
Would that be the same rule if the slaughtering was done improperly?
Yes, that's what Rabba's arguing. That's what Rabba's arguing. Afal gav detanina itzrich de Ula. Says the Gemara, no. Even though we have already learned this basic rule from our Mishnah, we still need Ula. Ula teaches us again an additional halacha. Sal kadaita chamina. I would have said, hacha lo bedilin minhon. Aval kadshim shemesu hol uvedilin minhon. Ema afilu mila midrabanan lo kamash malan. So I read a big chunk. I tend to do that just to have the flow of the Gemara, and then I can go back and read it. I am working on myself to make sure I'm proceeding at a proper pace. Says the Gemara, I would have thought that when it comes to the case of Ula, of Kachim Shemesu, what do you do when the Kachim die? What do you do?
Separate.
It's called an Avela. It's called an Avela. What do you do with Nevelas? You stay away from them, right? He's right. Look at Rashi. Right. Aval kachim shemesu, about 12-ish lines up from the bottom. Aval kachim shemesu dinevelos ninhu umeisi. These are disgusting, you know, carcasses. Uvedili minayhu inchi. People stay away from them. Ema afilu midrabanan les behu meila. Da bedili minayhu. I would have thought that in that case they're so out of the parsha that there's not even rabbinic meila over there. Why? No one goes near. You have an animal dies in the field. There's a reason why it says uvasar basadet follows uchel. You have these stinky animals in the field. No one goes near it. You would have thought the rabbis put me'ilah on that. That's so far removed. Even the rabbis wouldn't put on me'ilah. Therefore, Ula has to come and tell you, yeah, of course you know that mida oraisa there's no me'ilah, but my chiddush is the other direction. There is rabbinic me'ilah over here. That's what Ula is coming to teach us. Had it just said our Mishnah, I would have thought, that case, there's no way there's me'ilah over there at all. But Ula comes to tell us, no, there is rabbinic me'ilah there as well. Okay, that's a chiddush. And again, just to read it quickly, right? Lema tanina l'hadu, I'm going to go back up a few lines, we'll stop with this. Lema tanina l'hadu ulam Rabbi Yochanan, why don't we say then that we already learned this halacha in the Mishnah? Afagav de tanina, even though it was already taught, itzrich, it's necessary. Itzrich de ula, we need what Ula said. Salka daita chamina, I would have thought, hacha, over here in the case where you slaughtered it in the wrong place. Lo bidilin minhon, people don't distance themselves from it, and therefore, the rabbis, it makes sense for them to have decreed me'ilah. Avakachim shemesu, but when it comes to Kachim which died, ho'olu v'dilin minon, since people stay away from them, ema filu mi'ilah midrabanan lo. I would have thought that there's no mi'ilah midrabanan in that case. Kamash malan, that in that case, we say that there's mi'ilah midrabanan. The Gemara will continue with questions on this in this back and forth tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow. The Gemara will continue right whenever you learn the next Gemara, but on Sunday, hopefully, we'll learn it together.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful week.
You too.
Thank you.
Shabbos.
Good job, Shabbos.
Great learning,
Shabbos. Shabbos. Great learning.